Blog Talk Radio.
The cost left my heart broken, so I had it closed for repair. Wandering in my desert, your oasis appears. You're like a long, cool drink of water. I'm thirsty, that's clear when I taste you. I know you, I know you, I do. So can you feel? I need to know. Do you remember? Gonna feel like alone.
Hey everybody, it's Mark Ross, and I'd like to welcome you to another night of Spiritual Connections Radio. As you know, once a month we have the Men's Spiritual Radio Hour, a radio show that me and Mike came up with that we put together to be able to support men on their spiritual journeys. And with that, we always bring in a male guest, someone from the world who has experience on their spiritual journey, who is going to come in and talk about their life and all the different things they've experienced and stuff like that. So, as always, if you want to find out more about this show and other shows, you can go to our website, which is www.spiritualconnectionsradio.com. And with that, Mike, how are you?
Oh, pretty good, Mark.
Oh, it's great to have you on. Is it cold up north? It actually is cold down here in Florida.
Yeah, it's been cold. We got a little bit of break the past couple of days. We're at 48 degrees, but, you know, doesn't sound too enticing anyhow.
Yeah, it's funny because it can actually get down into the 40s down here. And for Florida, that's pretty cold. Of course, we had a little bit of a warm shot today, and we were up to 71, so... It's interesting. You can actually be running the air conditioning during the day and the heat at night here because of the variation. So, but I don't. It's funny. I can say I actually was up in Massachusetts for Thanksgiving and had a chance to enjoy the snow and everything. And they gave me the little fix that I needed, and I've had enough. So I'm actually glad that I'm down here. And you know, if anything, I got to put on a jacket. So go ahead and introduce our guest for tonight.
Okay. Tonight we have Craig Sloan. He's the resident psychic and owner of Blue Lotus in Montclair, New Jersey. Craig opened the store as originally named New Dimensions in 1995 when he was 25 years old because he had an intense interest in the esoteric. So Craig has had been having psychic and out-of-body experiences since he could remember. He was wanting much to find a regular occupation, so Craig went to college for business, and he had no idea that his life would lead him to where he is today. And he does offer readings in the center that he operates today, and there is also a retail store there. And Craig will actually let you talk more about that. How are you doing today?
I'm doing good, Mike and Mark. Good to be on.
Yeah, it's good to have you on. You know, I was kind of looking through the bio, and of course, you know, you and I go back quite a few years, and I was just kind of telling everybody we were kind of talking about it before the show started, that when I first started my spiritual journey, the psychic development group that I was part of was being run out of a space in the lower part of your store, and that's actually where we started to meet each other and get to know each other over quite a few years. So it's great to have you on the show. And with that, I'm going to go ahead and just lead into a question, and then I'll kind of build it up. So we'll start with, you know, it says you came from a strong religious background. And, you know, because we know you're kind of in the spiritual arena, I'm going to be very interested to see what the transition looked like. So talk to me about what was the basis of the religion, or, you know, where did you get, you know, where did you start?
Well, strong religious background, I guess, meant strong religious upbringing. I don't think I personally ever, even in my younger years, would be considered religious. But that was my basis. I was actually a little bit always off to the left. I was the kid that instead of buying the gumdrop, I was buying the astrology scroll. I don't know if you remember them from the 70s. But
oh, yeah.
It just fascinated me. So, you know, I always had an interest in, you know, kind of esoteric principles, even from a much younger age. The religious upbringing, you know, did give me a search for spirituality. It also maybe gave me a little bit of a conflict, a healthy conflict at a certain age when I was developing more of an interest into the metaphysical field. One thing that was happening all along was that I, from a very young age, have had what they call nowadays as out-of-body experiences, OBEs. And they were happening in my life rather spontaneously. And, you know, I always thought it was kind of a normal thing when I was younger. But then I realized after a while that it wasn't, you know, maybe not as normal in my upbringing and environment. It's not something I was going to generally approach and bring up. As I, you know, have been doing readings for clients for the past 20 years, I found out that a profound amount of people have them. They're just, you know, not as open to talk about it unless they're in an environment like this. So it is prevalent and it is out there. And other psychic occurrences were happening to me as a young child that I was trying to make heads or tails with. As far as the reading side of it goes, or my career, I never had any intention on being a reader. But I can tell you that my introduction to it was my grandmother, who I used to stay with in Lavalette, New Jersey. I loved every summer I could get down there, and we were, you know, very close and had a lot of fun together. And I'd say about maybe I was 10 or maybe 11 years old, and I was with her for the summer, and she had a book that you would probably have bought in the line at a ShopRite, you know, those little books and recipe books and things like that. And this one was called, I specifically remember, though I've not been able to find it, Your Fortune in the Cards. And it was just, you know, how to tell fortunes with normal playing cards. You know, I guess tarot cards were not quite as available or regular to find back then. And I became fascinated with it. This was something that she just toyed with. And my grandmother did have, you know, metaphysical leanings. She was very open and she had psychic experience herself, so I could talk with her about that. But I became fascinated with the cards. And I would do them when I was down there and experiment, and what's today going to look like and next week going to look like and where are we going on this day and how is it going to turn out. And then I think one time I might have got spooked. I think the wind came in and blew them all off the table and I got scared and I put them away for a while. But generally, I was always drawn to it. You know, I was always drawn to it, felt comfortable with it, felt like I resonated with it, like I had done it before. And I let it go for quite some years. And turn to more, you know, high school and things that, you know, we're more grounded then. We're more into living and feeling and drinking and, you know, all sorts of that age stuff. I didn't really get back into a feeling of looking for metaphysical and spiritual concepts in my life again until it was my mid-20s, early to mid-20s. I was working for a job, and I just was for an auto dealer. And even though it was a good job, it wasn't leaving me feeling very spiritually balanced. So I started taking books out of the library, and that's when I got back into the tarot again. And my grandmother passed away in 1994. And at that point, I think I was still in the job that I was in, and I got a very strong feeling. I don't know if it was from her. I really don't know where it came from, that I wanted to throw all my eggs in one basket and open up a metaphysical center. And I did it rather scared with a couple of credit cards and not much else. And I never thought that I would do readings. I had, as you've seen the setup here in the store, which I've always been in the same location, it fits good for this type of purpose. I mean, the reading room is beautiful and warm and comfortable, and yet you could see out into the store, which is where I'm sitting right now as I'm watching all the happy customers come in and out, making me feel good. And so that's kind of, you know, how my story began here. And as far as the readings go, it was actually, I mean, I was doing readings still, and I was doing them for friends, and it was a part of my life, but I was sitting up front, and it was my store, and I had to run things. You know, there were other readers here in other classes. And then one day, maybe about a year in, a friend of mine was sitting up front with me, and one of the psychics didn't show that day, and it was this time of year, and it was very busy, both as far as readings go and as far as the store goes. And he just, you know, nonchalantly said to me, Craig, why don't you go back there and read? I'll do the register. I know how to do it. And I was like, oh, no. I was, like, terrified. And I reluctantly kind of did it, and I enjoyed it because, you know, I'm very good one-on-one with people. I'm not much of a group person, but and it went well, and then I think I had, like, quite a few readings in one day, and it just, you know, it kind of, it took a long time to build confidence in doing it, but I found a couple of things that day that were very interesting me in terms of psychic revelations, like, you know, as simple as, like, why, wow, what made me say that? I mean, that was right. Why did I pick that name to say? And she said that was her father, you know. It's like, wow, this is exciting, you know. So I evolved it or continued with it more for myself and the exploration of it as opposed to, you know, I'm going to be this great psychic and I'm going to travel around and use my gift. And, you know, it was just something that occurred a little at a time and it blossomed on its own.
Wow. Go ahead, Mike.
So the first question I have is I'm curious. It's an interesting story that you talk about, you know, how you came into it, into doing the readings. Now, at one point in your life, around that time, did you ever start to get messages for yourself where you do a lot of journaling or, like, anything like automatic writing? Like, do you think you had other things happening that prepared you for that, like, as far as the information flow?
I tried it all because I was just fascinated with it. So I tried I did try automatic writing. I did try the crystal ball, the mirror, the black mirror. I tried it all to see what direction it was, you know, something miraculous happening is basically what I was looking for. The tarot was a long, slow burn. Like, I had to learn kind of a language that it was teaching me over time, which now I know. As far as me personally, my experiences were more of a dream-related, you know, dream storylines, dreaming about a person, and then the next day, you know, that situation happened or that conversation happened, or meeting someone and knowing that by dreaming about them that night that they were going to make a profound influence on my life or that I was going to know them for a long time. Like, for example, a friend of mine that I still know now, who I met through this store the first week I was open. He came in, my friend Eric. I had a dream about him, I think the first week that I met him, and I saw him as an older man, like you know, not elderly, but 50s, hair gray and everything. And he was helping me move into a beautiful apartment, and he was giving me things. And, you know, this has been a very generous friend of mine over the years. When he has money... When he doesn't have money, then he's sleeping on your couch. But when he has money, he's very generous, and he does well when he does have money. And I've benefited in that way by knowing him because he's the type of person, well, I don't want these copper pots and pans anymore. They're yours, Craig. You know, oh, thank you, Eric. You know, I appreciate it. And so in that dream symbolized to me, and I never forgot it, oh, I think I'm going to know this person for a long time, and he's going to be very good to me, you know, just on a friend level. And so that's kind of how I pieced together my information for me kind of back and forth.
Yeah, and that's how I started out too, you know, very much in the dream state for myself too, you know, and then I would try to record a lot of dreams. Maybe a couple of days later, you know, something similar to what happened in the dream would happen or, you know, yeah, it's definitely, and I think it happens with a lot of people and they may not realize it, you know, like some people, like, sometimes they don't put the two and two together and realize that the dream means something, but I think a lot of people do. And you almost get to a point where you start to rely on your dreams. Like, when you have one that's very interesting, you know right away, okay, well, I want to pick this apart and see what it means, you know, or try to interpret it. And so it's a great starting point for a lot of people. And it's, I think the dreams is an ability that everybody has that sometimes it's hard to deny because, you know, you have a dream and then it happens. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
Excellent. So, you know, one of the questions I have for you is, you know, you've been doing readings for 20 years, and there's a lot of questions around that that I have. But what do you think is the biggest thing you've noticed about your spiritual growth over 20 years?
Well, I basically am always still learning as I'm going, as is everyone. I as far as the readings go, I think that it has allowed me over time to kind of trust information as it comes to me. At first, it felt kind of falsely, like, am I saying this or is this flowing through me? Like, where am I getting this? I don't question that anymore. As far as, you know, spiritually evolving, some things happen that even shock me, and I think it's rather fun. I don't market myself as a medium, but I do get flashes of things that come that I'm like amazed at. It could be as simple as a waitress on the street came in here once quite a few years ago, and I feel like my chest is hurting. I said to her, and she said, yeah, and I said, you know, it's someone died of a heart attack. She said, yeah, and I got excited. I said, Anthony. She said, yeah, and I said, your brother. She said, yeah. You know, and we're both like screaming at the time because it had never happened before. You know, so I was like, wow, that just flowed out of me. How did that, you know, do that? So, you know, it's helped me that way. But as far as I think my spiritual journey, that's something I do very privately. That's something that, you know, I make sure as much as I can. You know, it gets busy at this time of year, but, you know, I have to meditate every morning for a good half hour to 45 minutes. Like, I have to. And if I don't do it in the morning, then I try it in the, you know, 5 to 6 o'clock before we go home from the store here, whatever. You know, that's important because through that I get, you know, snippets of information and voices and somebody saying a word or something that I have to decipher. And like I said, the out-of-body travel, it's always been a side of me. Some people I tell, some I don't. But, you know, I definitely get a lot of information in that in terms of my next path of spiritual growth or, you know, meeting somebody there that, you know, I feel like I've known forever, like a guide, as you will, when I talk about spirit guides, and yet I don't know this person physically. And so, you know, so it just keeps expanding on its own.
You know, do you have, I know some people have these, some people don't. Do you have your own guides, like your own personal guides, and do you have a really strong communication with them?
I know they're there. And I've seen quite a few, and it's kind of interesting because I could even, you know, place them. But I honestly don't know if they're working with me when I'm working with you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I feel like my when I click in, so to speak, to doing the reading, I do feel like I jump into a different place because a lot of times I don't remember what I said afterwards or from reading to reading. And but I have seen them when I, you know, started meditating years ago. I saw a female that looked very much like I hate to use this term, but gypsy. You know, she had the babushka on. So if she had lived in this lifetime, she was not of this century. And she was smiling at me like across a river. And so I guess she was happy that I was ready to open the door into what I was doing. I saw a male energy. He would come into my dreams every now and then, especially if I was in a very sad state in my life or going through a lot of stress because I seemed to complain to him a lot. And he didn't look scary, but his eyes looked – he looked physically human, but his eyes looked unearthly, if that's the best way that I could put it. You know, like they almost had a strongness about them that made them feel separate from his actual face, but a loving energy. So that was another one I remembered. So I know that they're there, but that's when I sit down in front of someone, I don't feel like I need to say, you know, my guides be with me or whatever. I think that person's guides or, you know, angels or loved ones or whatever will come in with them. And that's who I'm talking or communicating with.
Do you notice often that they show up a few minutes before the person does?
Yes. I think there are presences that I feel that are there, and I also feel like maybe it's something that's in someone's aura. But I don't know how to word it any other way, but when I'm on, for lack of a better term, like let's say on a busy day, I have a really busy Saturday is a busy day, and we're doing readings back to back to back to back, and people are kind of like, "Oh, do you need to rest?" I'm like, "No, I'm on. Sit down. You know, I'm on a roll here." I'm like, "Let's talk about your boyfriend," and she's like, "But I didn't even say anything yet." I'm like, "I picked it up out there while you were outside." You know, so I don't know whether that's their guides telling me or whether it's just, you know, something that is, you know, charging out of their aura or from their self. But, you know, that's kind of my line of doing it.
Mm-hmm. How do what is your website? And I know that you do your readings by phone, which is really neat. So talk about that for a second.
The website is BlueLotusStore.com, BlueLotusStore.com, and it's a nice looking website. It's informative. It basically shows you what goes on here, and I have my own page on it. As far as the over the phone readings, I think it started before me. There were psychics working here before I actually went and did psychic readings, you know, for actual clientele, for lack of a better term, not for friends or family or that type of thing. And I started that 800 number. It's not an 800 number anymore. We actually recently kind of unplugged that because everybody has cell phones now. It's a different world, and everybody has, you know, free long distance, and, you know, so they didn't need the 800. But one of the psychics that was here did readings over the phone because there was a requirement, you know, clients wanting it. And so I just continued that practice. And I find that, you know, some people, they want to be in person, and that's fine. Like I said, I love people, and I have no problem with that. But it doesn't change anything. And I think that's a big question with people. Well, shouldn't I be sitting in front of you? And I'm like, you know what? I think there's like a third of my client base that I've never met in person. I've been reading for years.
Wow. Go ahead, Mike.
So I was just curious also if you ever got into any kind of past life regressions, whether you've done it for yourself or if you've, you know, if it comes up in your readings for clients or if you've actually done the past life regressions on other people.
I haven't done any on other people because I know that there are a lot of, you know, professionals out there that do that. That would be something I would just refer. So I kind of, a reading with me kind of steers away from that. If somebody did say to me, do you feel anything about a connection, you know, from a past life, you know, I can zone in on that and say, yeah, I think you were in England and you know, at least one of many, but, you know, I'm getting that vibe from you and you were maybe in this time period. And so we could piece together, you know, oh, well, you know, that's why I like, you know, English scones or, you know, whatever. But So that's how it would enter into reading. And as far as I go with past lives, I definitely believe in it. Definitely, definitely. Again, that would be something that would go into my private dreaming life. I remember, and I have it recorded, somewhere in the late 90s, early 2000s, when I was really, really into the out-of-body stuff and meditation. You know, I was single. It was easier. You live in your own apartment. You can meditate when you want. And so I was really doing it. I was having a lot of experiences, which I wrote down. They were almost every night. And one experience that happened to me that I thought was pretty awesome was that I came to, it's called lucid dreaming. I'm sure you've heard of it.
Yeah.
Okay, so I woke up in a dream, and then I became what I call in the term out of body. My whole consciousness was there in this environment that I had flown into, and I was aware that my body was sleeping on the bed and all. But it was different than a normal one that I would have had. I was in robes, and I was in a room with wooden floor and beautiful light coming in through the windows, and there was a desk on the other side of the room, and I kind of drifted over to it. And there was different paraphernalia on this desk. There were pictures, and there were books, and there were symbols. And the three that I could derive from was I saw a picture of, like, an ancient barbarian type of person. And, you know, he had, like, that battle axe. Now, I can't say whether it was Viking or not. I don't know because I'm not knowledgeable of it. But, you know, I kind of resonated with that a little bit. Not necessarily in the best way, but... and then I saw something that looked very Greek or Roman looking, you know, like very marble stairs, and that was in another picture. And then another one I saw, you know, another... So, and then whether I was told or got this feeling or knowing or it was implanted in me in this, you know, experience, the desk I was looking at was not Craig's desk. It was my soul's desk. It was the higher part of me desk. And these were past lives that I was looking at, like memorabilia that you would keep on your desk, all in symbolism. And that's how what I took it as. And so that's how it was, like, there was a higher part of me that was showing me this. I didn't ask for it. It just, you know, it happened. But, you know, I was very grateful for it, and I wrote it down.
Yeah, and that's always, like, the important part, too, is, you know, I've always noticed when I come out of a dream or a vision or anything like that is to try to journal it as soon as you possibly can, like, as soon as you come out, because, like, the longer you keep your eyes open and focus on things, it all disappears from your mind. You know what I mean? The memory
You're absolutely right, because it's as real as the experience is, it's still, like, for lack of a better term, a different vibration. And, you know, once you come back to the physical, it's easy to forget. What I used to do and what I would tell people to do who were interested in it was I would say, jot down, you know, simple things like, okay, I remember seeing my mom and she's on the other side. She was wearing a pink dress. So you write pink dress. And we were in what looked like a park. You write park because, you know, when you wake up, you're still kind of groggy. And then later on, you can start to put the more detailed pieces in, but you got the main ones, you know, already there. So that's a good way to kind of progress backwards into remembering.
Yeah, it's funny because when I think about it, sometimes it's like, I'll be deep in sleep. I'll be having like a really intense dream, and it'll be right at the part where you're about to, like, you know, win the race or climb the mountain or, you know, win the lottery, whatever it is it's almost like the best part of the dream is about to come. And then, you know, the phone rings and it's like my mom or somebody, or the alarm goes off and I'm like, and as I'm waking up, I'm like, son of a, you know what I mean? I'm like, what the heck? I was just getting to the good part, you know?
Yeah, I know about those too.
So, you know, what is it, you know, I know when you started the store, you were reading every book you could get your hands on. What is the seeker mode for you these days? Are you still delving into, you know, interesting areas, or do you just have your topics that you just love? Or
I never stop. I would say I've gone through phases. You know, I was very interested one time in things like aromatherapy, and, you know, this field offers that. I was into mediumship. I was into, recently meaning the past two to three years, I never, ever, and I've heard nothing but good about it, but I never thought that I would be doing yoga. Lesser would I think that I would be certified to teach it.
Wow.
That happened somewhat recently, a couple years ago, you know, just a very high stress period, lost a couple of people, you know, that unexpectedly to death in a year, and financial stress and everything. And I had this DVD that a friend of mine, her name is Claire Dehabit, she owns the American Yoga Academy in West Orange, and she was at my house quite a few years ago. She's like my partner's brother's friend's wife type of thing, someone that you'll see here and there in your, you know, life because you're connected, and, you know, so you go back a long way, but you don't see each other all the time. So anyway, I knew I had this DVD in the drawer, and I never had any intention of doing yoga. It was just one of those things. Like, I imagine standing on my pinky, and I'm lazy that way. I hate to say it. So one day morning, I'm like, I need to get up and motivated and get into work because I'm helping other people, and I'm getting panicky and shaky, and the meditation is not helping. And so I stuck this yoga DVD in, I did it. I hyperventilated the first time, but I got through what I could, and it wasn't that strenuous. And so I made it a part of my morning routine, and I started noticing, wow, my tension in my neck is gone. Wow, I'm not feeling like panic attacks or anything. You know, this is great. And so I just did it for my doing, and I didn't tell anybody. And I ran into this woman. And I told her that she kind of changed my life by, I never thought I would do yoga, and, you know, now I'm doing it every day. And she said, well, good, why don't you come over and you guys can meet my boyfriend and have dinner. And then when we did that, sometime during dinner, she said, well, listen, if you ever wanted to teach it, I'll certify you. You come to my academy. It's starting this Sunday. So it blew me away because I was, like, really scared. I was just like, oh, these people are young. They're going to out-twist me. There's no way I'm going to do this, you know. And I made it through, and it was an accomplishment. Whether or not I decide to, you know, actually teach it, you know, and we'll see what happens. But, you know, so there was another path that I kept with me, but, you know, never thought. And so now I think I'm a little bit more introspective as opposed to reading to obtain knowledge of stones and crystals. And I mean, that was all in my 20s and 30s and wonderful, wonderful knowledge. Now I'm just kind of listening to myself. I am going deeper into meditation. I am looking for a little bit of that, you know, where is, you know, how high does my soul go? What can I reach? You know, what is source energy? And so the trip I'm taking now is basically within.
Wow. Go ahead, Mike.
Yeah, I was just going to say I definitely agree with the yoga. I had started about 5 or so years ago myself, just taking classes, and you know, it's just amazing. I'm a pretty tall person, and you know, I've had back problems here and there for quite a long time, but you know, it's just amazing the yoga. Like I really wish it would be more popular with men out there too, because it really has so many health benefits. It helps, you know, with digestion. And your posture, it helps strengthen the core, you know. And you know, I've tried some other methods too, like the Pilates a little bit, and I tried a few other kinds. But you know, the yoga is just it's so much more than just the physical. You know, it's mind, body, and soul. Because you know, especially some of the teachers I've gone to, they really do the meditation part pretty heavy in the beginning and the end, which I think is very important. So it's, you know, the act of calming the mind is along with the physical workout, and it's just an amazing practice. And you know, it must be fascinating to learn to teach it, because I know I had a friend that was certified also, and it's amazing how much you learn about the body and the body systems, you know, just in order to teach the classes, you know, that you have a really good working knowledge of it to be certified.
Absolutely, Mike. And you're right. It is absolutely, I think, feel necessary to use meditation as part of the, you know, evolution of the yoga. And in this area, I could say at least, because I did, you know, do yoga in some, you know, areas around here. In Montclair here, there's like a yoga center on every corner. And God bless. And but there's a relatively high percentage of men now. I think it's becoming much more mainstream. And, you know, it seemed like there was about a third men in most of the classes I was in, so I was happy to see that.
Oh, that's great. Yeah, because you know, that's the purpose of the show here. You know, we're trying to get more men into spirituality, but you know, even yoga, you don't even have to really be a spiritual person per se or anything, but it's I think it's for everybody. You know, it's anybody can benefit from it.
You're right. There's many benefits, and it does the job itself. There's nothing you have to do but do it.
Yeah, it was funny. I had poo-pooed it for so many years. And, you know, once I got down to Florida and I started doing yoga, I had three yoga instructors, three different forms of yoga I was learning. And, you know, then I ended up working with another person who is one of the top trainers in this part of the country for breath work as related to yoga. And, you know, in my time period when I was out in California, I joined Yoga Works and basically had an unlimited pass with the free time to use it, and was basically doing 11 to 14 yoga classes a week in every form I could find, so I could get like a whole buffet of experience and different teachers, different types of yoga. And I have to say, you know, especially when I was down in Florida, that between working out at the gym, running, swimming, biking, and doing yoga, that yoga, and a lot of people won't believe this, but yoga hands down is the best overall workout, workout I've ever seen. And I think it does so many things, because it's about strength training, it's about balance, it's about, you know, stretching, and I mean, it just gives you everything you like. And you know, for you know, guys like me and Mike, it's not bad to go to a class with 20 beautiful women. So so all you guys out there who have been poo-pooing yoga, go check it out. All kinds
it's
of
like
women doing all kinds of stretchy things.
It's like the single the single male student in the home ec class, you know.
Yeah, forget the bar scene.
But yeah, I agree too. I mean, it's just, you know, I haven't taken as much as that, Mark, you know, but you know, even if I just do it once a week, I'm happy with myself. And you know, I've had enough positions memorized, you know, I can do some on my own at home. But it's like, what I've noticed is, you know, if I ever step away from it and I go like 3 or 4 weeks without doing it or taking a class, I really start to feel, my body starts to feel not so good. You know what I mean? It really misses it. And you know, I'm one of those people myself too, where I do better going to a class where I'm out of the house, I'm in a class, I'm paying attention, following directions, and I do it. Whereas sometimes if you say, well, I'm just going to do it at home, you know, and then try to do what I can remember, it just, for me, you know, it just works for me to get out of the house and actually be part of the group, because there is something sacred about the energy of it in the class too, you know. And I've been fortunate because most of the classes I've taken have been smaller classes, which is nice for like a closer personal instruction. Although I think it would be neat one day to try it with like bigger classes just to see what that's like too. In addition to that, I'd like to bring something up. Have either of you ever gone to any kind of kirtan before, like a kirtan performance?
I can't say I have.
Okay, well, that, you know, and the reason I bring that up on the yoga subject is I had a couple opportunities that I've gone to kirtan performances where they play music that's like Sanskrit style, and they often hold those at yoga studios. And like the one yoga studio I went to out in Allentown, Pennsylvania, here had it, and it's just really, really amazing music. It's very much of a, you know, from India, that kind of flair of music, and a lot of Guru Ram Dass kind of songs and different things like that, and just a
little
really
sit-rom.
Fantastic. What's that?
They said sit-rom.
Yeah, it's just really a really fantastic. Like most of the time, you kind of are in meditation, and a lot of times you're singing along, and the music is just very, very relaxing. And so, but
I think I would like it a lot.
Yeah. I was just curious if either of you have ever experienced it. It's definitely something neat to try.
Yeah, I've been to a couple of different events and stuff around the country when I was training with Deborah King, and she would actually bring in some people to do it. But I've always wanted to go see like Krishna Das or something like that, you know?
Yeah.
But, you know, going back to the subject of yoga, you know, because my temperature of my body runs generally warm all the time, one of the yogas that I could never really get into, and some people swear by it, is the Hatha. I don't want to say Hatha yoga because that's not directly always related to it, but it's a yoga where you basically go in a room, they turn the room up to about 120 degrees. You just kind of go in, and that's the only one I can't get into. Now, if you can turn it on like an air conditioner and stuff like that, that works for me. But,
yeah, no, that's not for me at all. I know it's very popular, but I couldn't, for the same reason. Like, I just, it doesn't feel spiritual to me to just have sweat running down my eyelids.
Yeah, right?
Just,
I mean,
they call it hot yoga. That's right.
Yeah, they call it hot yoga. That same studio I went to for the kirtan, they have it out in Allentown. And to me, it almost sounds like a combination of a sweat lodge while you're doing yoga, because I have done sweat lodge before. And, you know, the sweat lodge, I don't know if you've ever done that, but boy, I'll tell you what, it brings up a lot of emotions to the point where you're like, am I going to make it through this? You know?
Of course you do. You're sweating your ass off.
I felt amazing afterwards. You felt like you lost 5 pounds, you know. But the emotions that come up during that. But see, the thing is, in the sweat lodge, they have a lot of activities and different chants and different things that you pass around from the other people in the lodge itself, you know, that you kind of boost each other's attitudes a little bit, you know, that it'll be fine. But it definitely is emotional. So, you know, I'm the same way. I'd be afraid in the middle of a hot yoga class to be like, I can't take this anymore. I got to go. I do it in the wintertime to be safe, so I know I could go outside and get cold fast.
Well, a lot of people say that it warms up the muscles and makes the yoga easier. I generally have no problems in a regular temperature room. So.
Yeah, I agree.
So, you know, one of the questions I have for you, Craig, is, you know, over the years, with the fact that you've done so many readings and everything like that, you know, kind of looking at the demographics or the overall lessons learned coaching you've done with all the different people over the years, what are some of the patterns you've seen with coaching people?
Well, I guess it depends on where they're at. And it's not, I don't want to put people into categories, but I think maybe it's just more what life does to us and causes us to seek. Some clients that come in that I see or speak to, rather, are, you know, in their own spiritual transformation. And so they're, you know, they're just much as you are, you know, and, you know, and they're looking for their own answers, but they're looking to you to maybe help them find it within themselves. Some people come for their holiday reading, which is wonderful. You know, and I see them once a year and it's, you know, a very joyful occasion. Some people are going through, you know, tremendous pain and suffering and, you know, and so they need to reach out a little bit more and it's, you know, it really ranges. I don't really have that I've seen a demographic. I have, you know, younger, older, middle age, maybe a smaller percentage of men, but not much. I would say it's about 60-40, to be honest with you. And you know what? And I learn from them as well as they learn from me.
Now, so going back to one of the original topics from earlier in the interview, talk to me about your first out of body experiences.
Well, they've been I mean, I could almost remember something like crib like, you know, like so that's how far they go back. But I used to be able to, I think I remember I used to be able to induce them in a very strange way. Like when I was real young, I could imagine an environment. It's almost like creating a dream and walking into it. I could imagine an environment, let's say, because I kind of remember this seaside, because I always like the shore, something by the water, maybe tables, whatever. And as I would kind of drift off into sleep, the best I can say it is I would, the vision that I was imagining that I was in would become stronger and stronger and more real. And of course my body was actually falling asleep in my bed. And then at some point there'd be a transition where I was there in this environment, me as myself and everything I know and every memory I have of myself. And it was, you know, so I used to be able to induce it that way. As they got older, I really haven't been able to do that. Maybe I haven't tried, but I didn't even remember that until I started. I think it was a meditative or out-of-body CD that we sold here at the store, and I brought it home one night and I listened to it and I thought it was great and nothing happened. And then I had a couple of lucid dreams that night, and then I remembered, I'm like, oh yeah, no, this used to happen to me when I was younger, you know, because I had put that side of me apart, because that's, you know, that's what we do as we live. You know, we get married, we raise families, we're not feeling as spirits, we have to be physically working and raising our kids, you know. So we're in that phase mode. College is another mode, you know, that you're at. So there's different times where those experiences are going to happen more or less depending on what's going on physically, even how you're focused in your life. But I don't remember the first. I just remember that they've gone back for quite some time. And as I got older, I just learned to, you can never control it, but I learned to induce it kind of and go with it and relax and know that it's a good thing. And, you know, and have my own journey that way, in my own inner journey.
I don't know if we need to actually stereotype it like this or anything like that, or if we think about acting like a kind of typecast it. But is there a purpose to out-of-body experience, or I think what a lot of people would call astral travel?
I think, believe it or not, I mean, this is just my feeling. Nobody told me this, and I don't know if I even read it. But I think the body, the physical vehicle, charges up, so to speak, you know, when the astral is out there. But you know, from what I've read, and like, you know, William Buhlmann is a fantastic author on it, and really seems to have spent, you know, 40 years really developing it. And so I've learned a lot from him. You know, I think that it definitely is one of those things that you know, just kind of keep doing. And what was your question again, Mark? I'm sorry.
It's like a reading, right? I don't know what I said.
Yeah, right. I'm getting so astral.
I was going to say, do you think there's a spiritual purpose in out of body and astral travel?
Well, I figure, you know what? We're all going to have the ultimate out of body experience someday. None of us are escaping that. So, if it happens, I'm using me personally here, but if it happened to me and I know that it is there, then I do want to explore it, because I want to know. I want to be prepared. You know, I want to transition to the best possible place that I can, and you know, by learning our lessons here. I don't know if there is a purpose. I think it's more of a natural thing that just happens, and I think that maybe some are more aware of it and some are afraid of it, which they shouldn't be, but some are aware of it. Some find it easier to do. I think that the most wonderful thing is that when you speak to somebody who's departed that you cared about, like mine was my grandmother, and I met a couple other people that were, you know, on the other side, for lack of a better term. And, you know, and it's real, and you know it, and you feel it. You know, nobody has to convince you otherwise. And so that alone, you know, takes away so many other fears of, you know, of death to begin with, and that we go on, and that your love can continue, and we go on to different, you know, levels and horizons and places and what have you that we're not even aware of yet. So I think it's, for me, it's important. It might not be important for everybody. I mean, listen, I have to work and put a roof over my head too, so I understand that I have to be here physically, and I chose to be. but to me, it's fun to do that. You know, I don't find it scary. And mm-hmm. you know, unfortunately, you know, there are members of it, and I get along with my family, I do. But, you know, there's some members of my family that are still quite, you know, religious from the old thing. And they're accepting and love what I do and know that I help people. But, you know, I can't tell them this. You know, it just mm-hmm. it blows their mind. You know, wait a minute. You know, you didn't meet Jesus first, or you didn't. You know, wait, that something's not right there. You know, and I'm like, yeah, but it's not like that. I'm like, it's a love and an energy that permeates through you. You know, so it's very hard to. But for me, it's more fun that there is a beyond than anything else. It's a half side kind of an access to do it, because it seems to be prolific with me when I want it to be. I go with it.
Yeah. Go ahead, Mike.
So a question I have for you in relation to the out-of-body experience, it's something that I've experienced, and I'm curious if you have. Have you ever had a time where you're in a very deep dream state, or, you know, you're having some kind of out-of-body experience, and you kind of get to the point where you feel like you can open your eyes, but you can't move your body whatsoever? You know, I know I've had it happen, especially coming out of a dream state, and I almost call it like a dream within a dream, because it's actually, sometimes it can actually freak you out a little bit, because you're laying there and you feel like your eyes are open, you're looking around, but you can't move, you know. And I know there's certain chemicals in your body that sometimes do that, so that when you're deep sleep, you're trying these chemicals secrete so you don't sleepwalk and things like that. But, you know, I just was curious if you've ever experienced that.
It has happened to me, yes, and it has happened to people that I know. To my experience, this is just my personal experience, but I have also, authors do write this too, you're slightly out of line, your astral body is just slightly out of line with your physical body, and so your consciousness is still in your astral body, but you feel like you're in your physical body because they're right within each other, so you're kind of just a little out of alignment, and that's why you can't move, because you're not really, you know, the two are not connected together completely, and that happens to people, like you said, many times upon just falling asleep or upon just maybe coming out of a dream and you know, waking up. You're not in alignment yet.
Yeah,
And don't fear it. The best bet is don't fear it. Just relax, because you are actually in the process of aligning. You're just not there yet at this very second.
Yeah, and it's interesting, because it first started happening to me in childhood at different times, and there would be times when I'd be very scared because, you know, what's going through my mind is like, oh, what if there was a fire right now? You know, like you just feel you want, like, you know, your mind is totally active and you want control of your body back, you know. But then as I've gotten older and more into meditation and so forth and in this kind of path, you know, I've realized, you know, I just stay calm and I let it do its thing and realize, you know, that everything's just integrating back together. But, you know, if I think when it first started happening to me, I didn't understand it. And I thought that there was something taking over my body or there was an entity there, like, preventing me from moving. And then as I did more research and learned more about it, it was like, oh, it's just, you know, I'm coming back into my body. But, you know, all the switches haven't been turned on yet, you know what I mean, to fire your whole physical body back up.
That's a great way of putting it. I've never heard that before. That's fantastic because that really makes sense. And for that matter, what you were saying about meditation, it can happen during meditation too.
So, Craig, as we get ready to wrap up the show, I have a couple closing questions for you. And I'm going to start with a grandmother that, you know, I'll basically say that you kind of studied under as a young boy. You know, at least got some initial guidance, and that is, you know, from your grandmother who taught you, you know, I don't know, some of the basics, or at least got you connected to more of an understanding of the gifts that you had. What do you think is the biggest lesson that you learned from her?
To not be afraid.
Not be afraid.
That came out.
And
very
we'll go
quickly.
Ahead.
My grandmother was very progressive for her age. And she, you know, she believed in past lives. I mean, she went to church and when it was, you know, socially the thing to do. But I mean, you know, she had the Ouija board. She had the, she didn't have tarot cards, but she had the playing cards with that. And she was just not afraid. And fear to me is one of the things that really blocks us when we are kind of exploring these realms.
And, you know, the question we always ask of all our guests, and, you know, will vary a little bit from what you learned from your grandmother, and that is, what is the biggest life lesson that you've learned so far in life?
I feel like I've learned so many. I'm trying to pick and choose. I think it would be very similar to, honestly, with that, is to not fear when you feel something is right. You know, I really have gone down a very... not unique, but a very unique path in terms of where I came from, you know, not only family, but friends and situations. And like, I really went fearlessly because even like Mike said before about, you know, the fear of being in that halfway state when your switches are turned on, you know, like that's scary. And if you don't have anybody to talk to about it, it makes it even scarier. But I went ahead and pursued. And so to me, that got me the most as far as, you know, constantly expanding up this spiritual ladder. Another thing that I've learned, and I can't say I was ever really a judgmental person, but is not to judge. You know, everybody has their own way and where they came from. And, you know, the more that you learn from not only from reading, but just interacting with people, is that people have stuff going on, you know, they're all learning their lessons. It's not easy. And, you know, you could look at someone. Here's one of the reasons it's not anymore like that, but here's one of the reasons why it would actually be easier for me to read someone over the phone as opposed to in person initially. Cause a lot of people say, well, how could you do that? I don't quite get it. Well, I'm reading energy, you know what I'm saying? And so energy is going to, I'm going to get my images and pictures, whether I'm talking to you over the phone or in person. But in person, you may have just, on your frantic way to park in Montclair, you know, tripped, ripped your leg open, got angry, got yelled at, and you come in here and you're hostile as all get out and you just can't calm down. Now, that's what I'm looking at. You know what I'm saying? So it's...
Yeah.
So it's just, you know, it's one of those things where... You know, accept everyone for where they are and move on.
Excellent.
We're all
you.
Learning at the same time.
For anybody who's been listening to the show, we've had Craig on from Blue Lotus in New Jersey. If you go to spiritualconnectionsradio.com, you'll see information about his reading rates. The services and everything that he provides, his website links and everything are up on the website there. Craig, as always, great to talk to you, catch up and everything. It's always amazing to have you on the show, and thank you.
Thank you, both of you, for having me on. It was a pleasure.
Yeah, and thank you. Always, it was great.
Always great to have you on, Mike. You know, one of the things we'll do in the closing of the show is I'm going to put a CD on from one of my friends. Her name is Angelina, or Angelica, as I call her. That's A-N-G-E-L-I-K-A. Her information is up on our website, and you can find a lot of her music on CD Baby. And one of the songs I'm going to play in closing the show is called Gratitude. And I think we can all agree it's really important to have gratitude as we go on our journey. So thank you for being on the show. Mike, it's always great to have you on. And Craig, as always, thank you.
Thank you, guys.
I'll just close out with this gratitude song.
Thank you for every dream come true, for the light that shines in you as often as you can. Just say thank you for the longing in your soul, taking you back home where you belong. Thank you. Thank you. Merci beaucoup, je sais. Muchas gracias. Danke schön.